Sister Nikki and the gang. The gang's getting bigger, sister. God bless you. Good for you to be here. Always good to see you. And the twins are growing up. Lord, oh, geez, they look like their dad. Maybe they'll grow up. Well, you know, you don't want them to look like you, Sister Nikki. I mean, but we've known them since they were born, so we sure do appreciate Sister Nikki and coming out and being with us. I know she didn't come to visit Trudy. She came to visit us, so. That's right. Amen. Say praise the Lord. So they've been good friends for a long time, and we sure do appreciate them. So if you got your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Revelation 6 by way of announcement. Remember, Saturday, I talked to Brother Jimmy Harris this morning, and they're closing their church down, so they're all coming Saturday and Sunday. So he's looking forward to being here. And then also Brother Andre and his wife will be here all weekend. And several other ones will be here Saturday from different places. So we're looking for a real good time in the Lord. So, and then Sunday, Brother Richard will be speaking for us. But Saturday will be at 4 o'clock. And then we'll have a meal afterwards. Okay? Charles Spurgeon said, we are not saved by obedience, for obedience is the result of salvation. We are saved by faith because faith leads us to obey. Amen. One more time. We are not saved by obedience. Okay? For obedience is a result of salvation. We're saved by faith because faith leads us to obey what God's word said. Amen. That was Charles Spurgeon. We sure do appreciate God sending us mighty men like him and different ones to give us these quotes. We sure do appreciate it. Before we pray, we won't get Hudson broke his arm, Terrence's grandson. So we want to say a special prayer for him tonight. And his own grandpa forgot to announce that. So anyway, praise the Lord. That's all right. He's getting old. Y'all pray for me. Remember, I've got my knee replacement scheduled. Brother Isaac called me a little bit ago or sent me a Marco Polo and said that I was just starting into my new body. Getting new parts to start into my new body. So, but I told him that you and Sue and Mom and all the ones had that you had done them very well. So, Dr. DeCook and... So we are expecting a good report. So we're just all falling apart together. So let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for this evening. Middle of the week, Lord. We've been rubbing shoulders with the devil for the past few days, Father. Now I pray, Lord, that you would just come among us in a special way, Lord. Take those blinders off of our eyes so that we can hear from you, Father. You speak the words to the people, Lord, and may we all hear from you today. Lord, may you heal the sick as the word goes forth. You said you sent your word and healed them and delivered them from destruction. We're standing here today, Lord, a needy people. We need you more than anything, Father. And I pray, Lord, that this weekend that you'll give our group here, Lord, supernatural strength, Lord, to be able to meet the hour of all the people coming Saturday and Sunday, Lord. A wonderful, special time that we've got setting aside here this coming weekend. And we sure do appreciate Brother Richard and Brother Stephen coming, Lord, to speak for us. I know we're going to hear from you, Lord. So I pray that you'd bless us and be with us. Forgive us of our many faults and failures and our sins. Bless the ones that are here, Sister Nikki and our family, Lord, that come a long way from Texas. We pray that you'd bless her, Lord, and keep her safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When are you going back?
Oh, I'm leaving Saturday morning.
When?
Saturday morning.
Next Saturday morning. Oh, this Saturday morning.
Yes.
Okay, on purpose. We should appreciate you, Sister Nikki. We sure do. We appreciate you. We're going to try to get you to sing, but you want to sing tonight?
You're already up there, brother. We're ready for the word.
I'm up here, and I've got a little bit of control right here, real, you know, so hang on to that. No, that's okay. That's okay. Well, Brother Boyd's still got the microphone back there. So, But that's all right. You get a mulligan this time, but next time you're going to sing two. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Revelation 6, verse 5. Yes, sir. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld in a low a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and wine. Let's go to Joel 2. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. We are the children of Zion, right?
Yes.
For he hath given you the former rain moderately. Now, we told you last week, the former rain is what? That's the rain that comes onto the crop to get it out of the ground, the teaching rain, all right? And then the latter rain is the harvest rain. It's when it rains that last time, pops that seed out real good, and then makes it where it's harvestable. And that's what you and I are at now. We are at harvest time. So that means that someone is going to have to come to full maturity.
Amen.
Amen. Full maturity. The corn is not going to be halfway. It's going to be full ear of corn.
Amen.
All right? And the ear of corn is you. All right? And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. You see what a miracle that is? There is not one thing that you can plant on June the 1st and harvest on the 30th.
Right?
But God's going to do a work. He's a miracle working God.
Amen.
He's going to bring the former rain so strong, we're going to pop out of the ground, we're going to grow to maturity, and he's going to harvest it in the same month, the first month.
Amen.
And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cackling worm, the caterpillar, the pommel worm, my great army, which I sent among you. You may be seated. Lord, that is blessing. As we were talking about the other day, Brother Bram tells us it's the same bug, and we know, yes, it is. It's the same bug in four different stages. All right, so, and it's, remember, it's the same devil in four horse riders. All right, but it's also the same Holy Ghost in four life messengers that's going to bring the tree back to maturity.
Amen.
Not just growing, but to maturity. All right. And that's what we're looking at. We are looking at mature bride, mature group of people. We are not looking for defeat. We're looking for victory.
Amen.
All right? Because that's what God said. He said, I will restore. Now, God's going to do it.
Yeah.
So he had to make a way for us to get there.
Right.
And he made that way by the prophet of the end time, bringing, as I said before, remember the seven seals that when they open, it is not just for information.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody with me? The seals open. Well, we got the seals. We got the third pull. We got the. What do you mean you got the? You didn't open them. God opened them. And without a revelation in your heart, you ain't getting it. Everybody with me? But they were not open for information purposes. They were open for revelation purposes.
Amen.
Amen? I will restore. So God is doing this. He is restoring. He allowed during the church ages, he allowed the devil to ride on his horse and to eat that tree down to almost to a stump.
Yeah.
But remember, the life goes to the roots. Mm-hmm. We cut a tree down partially in our yard not too long ago, and it was nothing but a stump. But that thing had big roots, and it was a pretty good-sized tree, and we didn't cut it all the way down. Well, right now, it looks like a bush. Why? Because the life was in the tree, in the roots during the wintertime. Now that it's springtime, it's come up out of the roots, and that's what God's doing. He said, if a corn of wheat doesn't die and fall in the ground, it'll bite alone.
Right.
Yeah. But since it did rot during the church age, and I'm pointing over here, but we'll get to the church age in just a second. If it didn't do that, then God could not restore, because God is a restoring God. Okay? He is a God of restoration. He is a God that knew we were going to fall. He knew what we were going to do before we did it, right? So he had his plan and purpose to what? Be a savior, be a redeemer. That's what Adam couldn't do. That's why Adam got kicked out of the garden like Eve did. Sure, he was the God of the earth. Sure, he was the one that controlled everything. Sure, he had the Holy Ghost in his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
But when he took Eve's part and he tried to save her and say, hey, I'll take you to myself, and God said, that's not your part. In other words, you got the wrong revelation. God said, I'm the Redeemer. Adam had no redeeming qualities. The second Adam is the one that has the redeeming quality. Amen. The first Adam did not. Because remember, he's the one that sold us out. One more time. Sisters, you're fine with me. I've heard people, you know, Brother Brown called you dog meat, but he didn't call y'all dog meat.
Right.
He called the world dog meat. Okay? And if you're an unregenerated male in here today, you're dog meat.
Yeah.
We're all dog meat until we're born again.
Yeah.
Amen? So Adam's the one that sold us out. He knew what he was doing, but he didn't know everything. He didn't have the full revelation. Brother Branham said one time, and I'm going to try to find that quote. When I say that, Brother Joe, I say that just so Brother Joe will go looking for it. So just throw it out there. Where he said that Adam's mind was fogged over. In other words, when the fall happened, there was a fog came over Adam, and it separated him from what he was, from his Godship. And that's about the same way we are. We're born here with a fog,
right.
In a fog,
right.
By a fog, and until the clouds lift, we're still in a fog.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
So now this is how it happens. It happens through false doctrine, because what was the doctrine in the Garden of Eden? It was a false doctrine that Satan told Eve.
Right.
All right? So what does false doctrine do? It destroys your spiritual life. It destroys the power of the Word. It destroys the closeness to God. Absolutely. God used to come down to cool the day and talk to Adam and Eve face to face.
Right.
And they were naked.
Right.
When they did what they did, they couldn't do that again. They had to put clothes on.
Right.
So it destroys the closeness to God, and it also destroys your discernment. And I can see that more than ever with people with false doctrine. There's so much discernment error that they have that they... You know, people can stand up, and I don't say stand up here, but people can stand behind the pulpit and say, God told me this. Well, if it don't coincide with the Word of God, a God did tell you that. But there's a God of this evil age that wants to be in this pulpit. He wants to be in your pulpit. He wants to be in your tabernacle. That's where he wants to get to, because that's what he did with Eve. He can't do it again, though. If you're born again tonight, he cannot get into that throne room. You're sealed until the day of your redemption. But what does true doctrine do? It defeats the enemy. It brings the Word back into power. It gives us authority. And it deepens our relationship with God. That's true doctrine. When you get true doctrine, and we'll read it maybe here in a few minutes, where that Brother Brown tells us that when you get true doctrine, you get that stimulation of revelation.
Right.
All right, because that's where this third church, the third seal is hurt not the oil and wine, which is the Holy Ghost and the stimulation of that. All right? And sometimes, my dad always said, remember, he said, so somebody says, well, cold chills run down my back. He said, that must be right. He said, give me a piece of ice, I'll give you cold chills down your back.
Right.
That's artificial. You got to carry what you got home with you.
That's right.
All right? So the seals didn't open for us to just be high and mighty and know more than anybody else knows and say nanny nanny boo boo, we know more than the next person does.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
You've heard that before. Okay? But we have it. It actually humbles us to know that God has brought us something that he brought no other church age. No other church age, even Paul's church age.
Yes.
He brought us something that's going to change our body.
Yes,
that was always laying there.
Yep. Right.
It just, light had never shone on it, as Brother Brown tells the story about the man whipping the top off of the pyramid. And he said there was writing on there that had never been light shining on before.
Right.
This today is that light shining on that word that was inside that pyramid.
Amen.
Because where's that pyramid? It's inside you.
Amen.
You are the pyramid of God.
Amen.
So what's inside, they're ripping the top off of our carnality and bringing us revelation that light had never shone on before. And revelation does not puff you up. Revelation makes you humble that the God of all universe will come down and tell you something that he's told no one else before. That ought to just make us so humble and say, just say, oh, God, why? Why me? Didn't Brother Brown say that? Brother Brown said, after the seals, he said, why, this should be told to the Vatican. Why a little church here in Jeffersonville? Well, that's the way God works. Why a little church in Lula, Georgia? Why a little church here and there and the other? In Texas. The big old state. But if we don't see that, then we can get all puffed up. And that's what caused people to have bad revelations over the years. Because many people said this, the seal was this, and the seal was polygamy. And I don't know how they got that. But it's just their carnal mind. And the seals is this, and the seals is that. And the seals are the thunders, and the thunders are seven men and seven people and seven virtues. That's not God. That's confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. All right? And then we look, see, in the third seal. When that third seal opened, we see a dark horse ride out. I'm just backgrounding just for Nikki, just for one person tonight. So I was going to take all this out, and we was going to be done in 15 minutes. But now since she's here, we'll be probably 9, 15, 10 o'clock. Matthew 6, verse 23. But if thine eye be evil, Gina and I were talking about this today. And you look at somebody that's walked in this message for years, talked it, walked it, maybe lived it so that you could see it, but then walk away from it. They had light at one time, but that light turned into darkness for them. The Pharisees had the light of their day. Listen to me one time. The Pharisees had the light of the day till Jesus came. They had the light. They Moses, they did all the sacrifices. They did all the feast days. They did everything verbatim. But when the one that they talked about in the temple stood there in flesh, they couldn't take it. And that's what's happening today. The devil can't take it. The world can't take it. That God is in a humble group of people doing something very profound, heading toward a body change. Amen. That man can't do.
Mm-hmm.
There is no drug. Nothing.
Amen.
We're dying. But God said, I will restore.
Amen.
Number one, folks, he's got to restore the word.
Right.
Then we bring the word back into power. It goes into you.
Right.
And when you accept it, that makes you the word made flesh. That makes you the son of man ministry. That makes you, even you sisters, part of the son of man ministry, which is the word in power in human flesh. In a group of people, not the whole world, but just a small group of people. That light that's inside of them will not be darkness. This world is being deceived daily. Daily. The light that the world thinks is light is becoming darkness to them.
Right.
Jesus told them, if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Why? Because you think you're in the truth.
Right. Yeah.
They did. But when the light came and shone on them, in front of them, they turned it down because it didn't come the way they wanted to come. Now, are we the same way? Sometimes we sit in a congregation, we think, well, brother so-and-so should have said this, and sister so-and-so should have said this, and we should have this. Pharisee?
Yeah.
Oh, don't get quiet on me.
Right.
Pharisee?
Correct.
If God wanted you to say it, he'd have brought you up here and let you say it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it to be mean. I'm just telling you. With everybody, we need to quit being so critical. Isaiah 4, verse 1 says, in that day seven women shall take hold of one man. What day? This day.
Amen.
All right? Seven women, seven church ages, which is not the bride. It is the women in the church ages that are the denominations. They'll take hold of one man, Jesus Christ, and say, we'll eat our own bread. We don't want your bread. We'll eat our bread.
Yeah.
We'll wear our own apparel. Don't tell me I can't wear pants. Don't tell me I can't do this. That's what he says. Only let us be called Christian. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. They won't even be baptized in his name.
Right.
So they've lost it right there, but they want to be called Christian. They want to be called sons and daughters of God. But that's what that black horse is. That black horse, remember, what is black? It's an absence of light. And it's because there is darkness, it's because there's no reflector of light anywhere in darkness. Because once light comes, darkness goes away. So black horse is the power in the people, but an absence of truth. It was a power, but it was absence of the truth. And the balances were symbols of economic control, which we saw in the 5th and 6th church age. We saw that that's when the Enlightenment happened. That's when the cars and not so much planes till 1900-something. But you had all this advancement in man, and you had all this printing press, and you had all these things that were the industrial age. You would think that was the greatest age. It is for mankind.
Right.
But it wasn't for God.
Right.
They were turning him away, and I'll read you here in a little bit, where that when Luther died, they denominated. Who's they? Luther didn't. They denominated it. They took an idea. I tell you, John Wesley, the Wesleyans and the Methodists would not want John Wesley to be here today.
Amen.
If he rode 4,000 miles, preached 4,000 sermons in a year, he'd be at every church every Sunday, and he'd tear it up and go to the next one.
Right.
I read today they closed another 150 churches in the United States, Methodist churches, because they were owned by the whatever that United Methodist is, the one that allows gays and all that to be in the pulpit. Darkness. But they think it's light. I'm a Methodist. That's not light, that's dark. But to them it's light. Hold on a minute. I'm in the message. Whoa, here we go. I'm in the message. I come to a message church. Just let me be called by Branham name. We're going to dress the way we want to, eat what we want to, sit at home. Anyway, press play, all the other stuff.
Amen.
That's darkness. That's not scriptural. That's not my opinion. That's scripture. Scripture says we must assemble together. All
right?
So anyway, that man or that, of course, the man of sin is doing this, but he's not the man of sin called yet. He's coming up here in the fourth church, or the fourth seal. But he's a manipulator. And remember the famine. We read the scripture where in Amos, I believe it says that it would be a famine in the end time, not of food.
Right.
Oh, my, there's food everywhere. We throw away more food in the United States, they say, than a third world country uses. Wasteful. We do that, and we all do it. Look in your refrigerator. You can't even see the back of it. Well, praise the Lord. Anyway, so there's not a famine for food to eat, and we can obviously tell you that because most of us are not shopping in the L and the S and the M section. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Large, medium, and small. But God will speak when this seal opens. So when the third seal opened, we saw that there was another voice. It wasn't a combat beast. It was God himself. Amen. Brother Bram tells us it's the Lamb that speaks.
Amen.
All
right?
But what did he do? The way Satan changes his tactic, he changes his ministry. God does not ever change his ministry.
Right.
Now remember, God can't change. But as I was telling you the other day, when June and I were talking about it, she heard somebody saying that's right. But God changes things. God doesn't change, but he changes situations. He changes things. But he don't change his word. Satan changes his word to match what's coming up in the next part that he wants to do, the next part of the play. He'll change his ministry. We found out he was an Antichrist. He changed his position. He was first a white horse. He was a doctrine. It was just a saying. Some people were sitting around in the corner and saying something this and that. And Jesus wasn't God and all this. And it became what? Doctrine. When it became doctrine, then it became what? Into a group of people. Then it became into a pope. And then we don't have, when we say pope, if anybody's online that's a Catholic, you can be a pope and sit in your own house. If you're instead of God, because that's why the biker is. He's instead of God. I told you many times before, it's just the way I see it. Many people in the message, they've made their pastors the pope. You study, you pray, you do this, you do that, and then blame me when it don't happen. You need to do a little prayer yourself. Study the show your pastor approved. Study the show yourself approved. Amen. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, Brother Brown tells us that oil typifies the spirit, and wine symbolizes the stimulation of revelation. Boy, I like to run all over the place. It's a wonder I didn't wake up the neighborhood. Any of y'all ever done that before? I asked you last week. Nobody really raised their hand. Okay, anyway. Maybe from shouting of other things, but not shouting because of the word. Right. Well, praise the Lord. Sometimes the walls are pretty thin. Yeah. Yep. But I've had before. I've been in a place where I got a revelation. Sure, I was driving down the road one day in a little old, remember the white pickup truck I had that we hadn't sold our house in Gainesville yet, and we were building that one down here in Gillsville, and the presence of the Lord, I'd never seen it before. It just swept in. It come through this way. And I had my hat on. I just threw my hat off. Just started screaming and shouting, and I wasn't thinking about God. I was probably wondering what I was going to buy at Home Depot the next day. You say, oh, no, you need to be in the Bible never tells you got to be in a certain position. Amen? Because the stimulation of revelation, listen, if you're looking for it, if you're looking for it, what's it going to stimulate? But when you're not looking for it, and God blindsides you and gives you something and gives you a revelation or gives you what I always call, Sister Nikki, an aha moment. You start somebody preaching, you go, aha, that's what that's all about. That's what God was saying. That's what Brother Branham was saying. See, that's God. That is God. You know what Brother Dale told us to do during that time? He said, God is so close to you when he gives you a revelation. He said, you throw your hands up and you ask God for anything you want. My children, my wife, my finances. Because that's when God is right there. And it's not an angel. It's him. He has come in this end time into a group of people. The pillar of fire is not where we can see it anymore. Sure, God can do that if he wants to. But the pillar of fire has been hidden into a group of people. A group of people is walking around with a pillar of fire inside of them. And that thing's whirling millions of miles an hour. There's the stimulation. When you see something. And then when you see something, you know that man is so near that built every galaxy, every star, everything is right there with you. And you say, well, I got the Holy Ghost. Well, guess what? You need some extra fillings every once in a while. You need for God to come and quicken a little something that you've maybe let lay dormant for a little while. Or maybe you haven't. Remember Brother Brown said, you know what? If you don't understand it, put it up on a shelf. All right? But now don't lay it up there for a long period of time. Let it get dust on it. Reach up here and get that thing every once in a while and say, God, I don't understand this. God, I don't understand this. I don't understand what our brother's saying. Listen, God's not selfish. He's more willing to give you something than you want. Stimulation of revelation. Oil and wine in the Bible is associated together always. I got the concordance to look. There's a string of them. Wine and oil goes together all the time. Then we're going to see what he said. What is wine and oil? It's worship. Yeah. Right. When the truth of a promised word of God has been truly revealed to his saints that's filled with oil, they all get stimulated. Wine is a stimulation. Glory, I feel it right now. Stimulated with joy, shout. When it does, it has the same effect upon them that wine does upon a natural man. Because when the revelation has been given of a truth of God, and the true believer filled with the Holy Ghost, all right, you got to be filled with the oil, and the revelation is revealed, the stimulation becomes so great, it makes him behave himself unnormally. Good Kentucky English. Unnormally. That's right. Glory. Maybe that's what's the matter with them now. That's right. It makes them behave themselves unseemingly. Look here. I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts. What was it? It was the Lamb. If you don't mind putting that first chart up here, the one we've been using, and then we'll pull the other one up later. Because what happened is the four beasts, the lion, ox, man, and the eagle, have come to a place now to where, and I don't say this, it's the only thing, no, the other one, the one we've been using. The lion, ox, man, and the eagle, sometimes we think, well, you know, that's the Holy Ghost, but it's a portion here and here. It's all together. Remember in the Bible it tells you that Ezekiel said that they all went one direction? Okay? So if they all went in one direction, they had one goal, and that goal was, is to, if you need the boldness of a lion, he's there. If you need the labor of an ox to labor with your brother or labor with your sister, that comes out to the forefront.
Right.
All right? So the man anointing is speak. He speaks, okay? The man anointing, the other one, please. The man anointing is what? It's where a man speaks.
Right.
Hello? I mean, really. So what's happening here in this seal, this third seal, is the man anointing and the man speaks.
Yeah. Right.
The man. The Lamb. The Lamb speaks.
Yeah.
And when the Lamb speaks, it's like Brother Bram said, he's redeeming it, or he's redeemed it. Now, he was redeemer in the first age, second age, third age, in all different ways. You see that now. All right? But in this age, when that thing got eat to a stump right here, he said, I will restore, because what's he doing? He's restoring to take in a rapture. He restored here to bring a church age.
Right.
Yeah.
A Gentile age to begin. Christ went in the ground, died, buried, resurrected, came back on the day of Pentecost to start that first church age.
Right.
All right. I will restore. Mm-hmm. All right. Then it was eat down, but remember right here, it got eat down so bad until almost a little bit of light, and that's it. But he's going to restore again. But look, praise God. Praise God, it's not going down again.
Amen.
Right. It's not going down again.
Hallelujah.
It's going up.
Right.
So in other words, it wasn't that he didn't do it right the first time. It's just his plan and program was, is to when he got us, the bride, out of that fourth dark age, he was going to restore and put back in power his people like he wanted them to, because you got to come to that last age with a full restoration of everything.
Right.
Body change and all. They weren't required to body change you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even 7.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, come on.
Right.
We're not in that age.
Right.
Don't get quiet.
Right.
Brother Bram said the bride was never in an age. We get the brackets. We're in that age, but if we have the same characteristics of Laodiceans, we're rich,
right,
blind,
yeah,
wretched, miserable, naked, lukewarm, can't see, can't hear, can't talk. That's not me and you, I hope.
Amen.
Amen. We've come out of all that. We've come out of her, my people. We've come out of that age. And then what did we do? We caught the eagle anointing. I'm going to get a little ahead of time for the fourth seal. But that eagle age is one that flies so much higher.
Right.
Yeah.
Showing maturity. Showing that each one of those, the lion, the ox, and the man, every time when they start as babies, they're drinking milk.
Right.
But an eagle, when the eagle is born, it begins to eat meat immediately.
Right.
Has no milk glands in an eagle. That's why Paul said, he said, it's okay that you desire the sincere milk of the word. He said, but full authority or full maturity requires eagle food.
Yes.
It requires carrion. It requires carcass. Carne.
Yes.
Flesh.
Amen.
Now, as oil symbolizes the Holy Spirit, we find out that oil and wine is connected in worship. Now, and I don't know that much about those ages back there because there's not much. There is some history. But we have a lot of history with Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, and Brother Branham. We have that history.
Right.
Okay? Because we have books. We have people that penned things like Tyndale and all the different ones. We have a lot of different people, Spurgeon and the different ones. They didn't have that back then. They had, someone asked a question, and I'll read the quote where Brother Branham says, four life messengers had to bring it back. He said, four prophets. Now remember, a prophet is a man that the word comes to.
Yeah.
You've got major ones and minor ones.
Right.
Okay? Everybody with me? But Paul was a major prophet because he was identified in the first church age as a church age messenger in the Bible. We can see that. We pull that out because of the opening of the word. But remember, Brother Branham was too, Malachi 4. You go over to, you got an Alpha Bride and an Omega Bride. They got to be the same. So there's a major prophet on both bookends. Anybody with me? But all those, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther and Wesley, they were minor prophets because the word of God came to them. And that's what God said. That's what I want you to say. And that is the truth for your time.
Right.
Okay, so don't get tripped up, but say four great prophets. Because we're going to find out if we get to it that there wasn't a man in the third stage. Brother Bram said there was no messenger to that age. That the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. Right out of the seal book. We'll read it in a little bit. Now, as oil symbolized the Holy Spirit, we find out that oil and wine is connected in worship. Now, worship. to kind of hurry through this, when God said, I will restore, what did he restore? He restored what the cankerworm, pommelworm, locust, and caterpillar, they ate. Want to make the leaves because it was fellowship. Pentecost brought all that. So you see God's bringing it all the way back again and growing the tree on this side of number four. Okay? But on this side of the fourth church age. So that was worship. I don't say they don't know what they were doing, but I'll promise you Luther knew what he was doing. Or he wouldn't have protested the Catholic Church. God give him a revelation of who, of not who he was. Well, Luther, you're the fifth church. No, none of them, not a one of them knew they were church age messengers.
Right.
They just knew they had a message.
Right.
It took that prophet on this end of the book end to let all of them live their life. Everybody with me?
Right.
And live their life and then bring them up and say, well, here, this one is Paul Irenaeus Martin. And the Holy Spirit picked them out with Brother Branham, you know, used Brother Branham and picked them all out. Why? So that you and I can see how God restored that tree.
Right.
He started in Luther, went to Wesley, Pentecost. Because remember, that life that you have in you today is the same life that started with Luther.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you got two different Holy Ghosts.
Right.
It's the same Holy Ghost.
Amen.
But remember, they only got a dip into it.
Mm-hmm.
You and I don't get a dip.
Right.
We get the fullness.
Right.
Listen. To start out in this message, sometimes it's a little overwhelming, okay? Because you come out of something that especially if you're in a denomination.
Yep.
Amen?
Right.
Brother Luis, you've been in several, right?
Yep.
It's daunting to hear this and go, well, I see that what I was in was not the truth, but you got to show me where this thing pieces together at.
Right.
Right.
And that's what God did. He said, hurt not the oil and wine. In other words, don't you hurt the revelation. Satan, you're not going to get in. I love this. Satan, you're not going to get into that revelation I'm going to give Brother Luis because it's me and him.
Right.
You're not getting in that this time.
Amen.
That's why the end time, you're not going to muddle it up. Hurt not the oil and wine. That's why the Lamb stood and said, these are my people.
Amen.
I bought them. I bought them in the first age through the fourth age. But this fifth, sixth, and seventh age, I'm going to bring a bride that's completely, totally sold out to me.
Amen.
That knows nothing but him.
Amen.
Knows nothing but the word of God.
Amen.
That's why Brother Bram come. He said, denominations, they just go away. I know why I hated denominations when the seals opened. Why? He saw that spirit in there that was working in them. But he also saw the true Holy Ghost and the stimulation of that Holy Ghost that he had even in his meetings. But now to me and you, there should be some kind of stimulation of revelation. The wine symbolizes that it was the power. Now watch, it was the power of stimulation by revelation. All right? So you have to have the revelation before you get the stimulation. All right? And that's when something has been revealed. It gives stimulation to the believer because it's presented by revelation. See, it's something that God has said, it's a mystery. They can't understand it. And after a while, God comes down and reveals it, and then he vindicates it. Listen, they can say what they want to about the message and about Brother Branham. It is a vindicated from God message because I know it is. I don't know that you know it.
Amen.
I know it because of my personal experience. I know it because what God's done for me. Not just saved my soul. Took me into that eagle part. Where I like to eat strong meat.
Right. Correct. Amen.
Biscuits and potatoes are good, but give me a big steak. So the voice was not a combat beast. It was the Lamb himself. Like I said before, I am going to bring Luther out of the most demonic age there was. Power of the Catholic Church went up here. They killed 68 million people, Christians. For defying them, not defying God, defying their God.
Right. Amen.
So it's a restoration by the Lamb. It proves God is with us again. And true revelation returns, which is the Lamb's protection. Like I said before, he's going to protect me and you. If you'll yield yourself to God, get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your soul. Study to show yourself approved. God is not going to let you fall.
Amen.
If you're born again tonight, you can't fall.
Amen.
You can backslide. Don't get quiet on me. You can backslide. Brother Brown said he backslides all the time. You know what backsliding is? It's not moving forward. Not just you say, well, I'm gonna fall. No, just stand where you're at. God's not a standing God. He's a moving God. Jeremiah 30, verse 16, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them shall go into captivity, and they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee I will give for prey, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Because they called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. What? A bunch of outcasts. A bunch of old granny-looking people and people that, men that don't smoke and drink. And, you know, I was just a doctor today, and sometimes they look at you kind of different. Because usually if they say, smoke, drink, took this and this and this, somebody says yes.
Yep.
Right.
If they're truthful.
Yeah.
Do you drink? Nope. Mm. You smoke? Mm. You did? Nope. Nope. Mm. And they just kind of look at you, you know. Yeah, you're weird. I like weird.
Yes.
I'm comfortable with weird. I'm comfortable with weird people, too. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain. The former, what is that? Rain is what you're hearing now. It's rain that's falling.
Right.
All right? And the teaching rain is what? It's the teaching rain grows the shoot. It busts the seed, brings the shoot out of the ground, And then in that shoot, it's the life of everything going to be, but it can't be produced right here.
Right.
This is not the grain.
Right.
The grain's inside there.
Right.
So the grain was inside of Luther.
Right.
All right? Everybody with me?
That's right.
The life that you have today was in Martin Luther.
Amen.
But it was in a portion with him. And I read you Wednesday night, it's just, or Sunday, it's just a little bit of light. Okay, sliver of light is what Brother Ram said. But remember, that can't stay that way.
Right.
It's got to come on out with a stalk.
Right.
All right? It's got to grow out to a shuck. And then inside that shuck is going to be what was planted.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
So the life comes from here to here. It's a cycle. But remember, church age, first church age went down, second church age come up. Second down, third chase. Third down, fourth up. Seventh, there's no going down.
Right.
We're going home.
Right.
But it's going to be a mature group of people that's going home. It's not going to be babies. And the floor shall be full of wheat and fat, shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust eat, the caterpillar, cankerworm, caterpillar, pommel worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. Praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. What an anthem. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God, and none else in my people shall never be ashamed. Brother Brown said, look, this is in Chicago in 1953. Joel, that prophet, looked down through the eyes of faith. He saw this vine coming up out of Genesis. He saw it all as far when they, there after Jerusalem, the Holy Ghost fell. He's talking about back over here.
Mm-hmm.
First Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jerusalem, over there. First Pentecost. He seen the dark age come in, fourth church age. He seen that vine destroyed and pushed down to a stump, but God said, I will restore from that third seal. That's what he's saying. When he says, don't hurt my oil and wine, he's saying, I will restore.
Right.
All right?
Amen.
So remember, let's go through real quick. The pommel worm destroyed the fruit of the tree. All right? The locust, what did it do? It ate the leaves. Locust took into the leaves. What was the pommel worm? What the pommel worm left, he left the leaves. And the other one eat all the fruit off the tree. Then the locusts come and eat what the pommel worm left. Now what did he do? What did the pommel worm do? He destroyed the leaves. What's the leaves? Destroyed divine fellowship. That's what Satan did. He started dividing and conquering.
Right.
He started dividing everybody up. Well, I got a little saying here, and I think I'm going to make this one have another little saying over here. And that group will have another. It'll break off to another little saying over here.
Yeah.
Right. I'm talking about in the message. You thought I was talking about Baptists and Methodists. Well, praise the Lord anyway. He's Presbyterian. We won't have nothing to do with him. He's Nazarene. He's Pentecostal. So I told you the other day, my cousin, he's a Baptist preacher for 30-something years. They decided to put him in that Methodist church over there in town and use him for a little while. And I finally got a chance to ask Ray. I said, are you converting him to Baptist, or are they converting you to Methodist? And his wife perked up and said, well, they ain't really a lot of difference. I said, have you ever been to a Methodist church before? Well, no, I'm Baptist. There must be a difference. Have you ever been to a Pentecostal church? No. Well, there must be a difference. If y'all have Pentecostals coming to a Methodist church and shouting and speaking in tongues and running aisles, whoa, there is a difference. It's all demonic. Sorry. But the bride is the only one that has the true seed of God.
Right.
So he cut off the fellowship. I want you to remember that. He cut all the fellowship off.
Yes.
Took all the fellowship. Restoration of the bride tree continued. That little cankerworm began to bore himself into the bark. What did he do? He began to take its religion, its covering, away. Religion is a doctrine, a covering that covers anything. That's the reason our religion is by blood. The life is in the blood that covers the word, and the life is in the blood. The blood is the religion, and the life in the blood is what brings the results. You see it? Congregation says amen. Let's continue on. Now, the next stage is what? He comes back in another stage as a cankerworm. He went into the bark. Now, here he comes as a caterpillar, the fourth stage of him. Now, he's a caterpillar. What is a caterpillar? He's a sucker. Sucks the life, the spirit, the life. That's why Brother Branham, he said, these churches are nothing but lodges now. I don't want you to miss church, but if there's a Sunday we don't have church, which ain't many, go to a Baptist church, go to a Methodist church, and sit there. There's no life. It's a lodge. You literally go in the door. When I preached at that Methodist church, don't hold that against me, Sister Nikki. I was trying to help them. They had Krispy Kreme. Don't get no ideas either. There's Krispy Kremes at the back door and some coffee. And they didn't stay back there and eat it. They come in the sanctuary with their coffee and their donuts. Jim, you were there. Yeah, you were there too. Didn't think no more about it. Come in with shorts on, laughing and talking. Why? They're devoid of God. They have a word. Oh, they can stand up and recite the Apostles' Creed. But there's nothing here. There's no life. It's all artificial. That's why here we believe in worship. We believe in the Holy Spirit bringing him here and entertaining him here. Amen? And then let him, what? Fill us with the Holy Ghost over and over and over again. Who are we going to call him, he said? Denomination. That's the guy's right name. He is a destroyer. Sucks the life right out of the church. Right. Now listen, don't miss this now. Now here we get to this, and then we'll be about finished. I'm about to close. In the words of Kidre Diggs, he starts the sermon saying, I'm about to close. So don't miss this now. There were four death messengers. Now, what were they? Caterpillar, pommel worm, canker worm, locust. Four. Now, listen closely. There were four death messengers. Or would you rather just close? I'm going to quote the whole quote. Congregation says no, so okay. Nobody said anything, so maybe we need to close. Listen close now. Look, there were four. Four death messengers killed that tree. That's right. Congregation says amen. What was it? Pommel worm, locust, caterpillar, cankerworm, caterpillar. Is that right? Four messengers of Roman devils, dogma, killed that tree. Right. One took his fruit. One took his bark. One took his leaves, bark, life. Four messengers of dogma killed the tree, all but the roots.
Amen.
And if four messengers of death killed the tree, for messengers of life restores the tree.
Amen.
Now, there is no more. This is going to take us into the fourth seal. There is no more than three stages of grace in the birth.
Right.
Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost
right.
constitutes the birth.
Right.
All right?
Yeah.
Everybody with me?
Right.
With me?
Yeah.
That's the life. But when that life comes in that baby, are you just going to throw it in the closet?
No.
Shut the door and say, well, that thing's really beautiful, but he's here. He's alive. No, there's got to be a growth. There's got to be a four. That's why we see that justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's wonderful. That takes us through all the ages except this one. Lion, ox, man, and eagle, four.
Right.
Four horse riders. It's the same as the four bugs.
That's right. Amen.
But the four life messengers are those lion, ox, man, and eagle working inside of a group of people.
Right.
Restoring the word of God.
Amen.
It only is restored by human beings. Come on, folks.
Amen.
It's not restored by cows and bulls and horses. It's people.
Right.
God uses human beings.
Yes. Amen.
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 Brother Branham said, it's hard for one man to what? Believe another man. Why? We all got our little ideas. And if yours ain't like mine, you're out of here. By four death messengers killed it, then four life messengers will restore it. What was the first? Martin Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost with the restoration of the gifts, the Holy Ghost, baptism of the Holy Ghost. If you stop right there, you're okay through seven church ages. I'm including the seven church ages too, because there's a lot of people got born again and didn't grow. That's why I agree with Brother Timothy Dodd. I'd never seen it like this before. I had one of my moments of revelation, my stimulation. Because really the man anointing was under the Son of God anointing. Remember the church ages was under the Son of God anointing?
Right.
Come on.
Yeah.
Until Brother Branham opened the, until God opened the seals through Brother Branham, it was still the man anointing. So until he preached the seals, he was still preaching under a man anointing, the Son of God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when the seals opened, went to Arizona, got taken up.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the symbols. He got taken up and came back and preached the seals, and it wasn't nothing but the eagle anointing from then on. And listen, that eagle anointing is now spread here.
Amen.
There's no other anointing. Luther, justification. What was the second? John Wesley, by sanctification. What was the third? Pentecost, with the restoration of the gift, the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because remember, in Pentecost, with the restoration of the gifts, they were still Trinitarians. So they weren't full eagles. They were still under the man anointing, where God winked at their ignorance for preaching from false doctrine. Everybody with me? I mean, the Holy Ghost came himself on Azusa Street Pentecost, gave them the baptism of the Holy Ghost, just like you got.
Right.
Yeah.
But it was in another age, an age of restoring of the gifts.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
Coming out of the Reformation into full restoration.
Right.
Today we are under now full restoration.
Right.
What was the fourth? The Word. Let me put a little bit in there. The Word made flesh.
Amen.
What? The Word. There were four great prophets, which was Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. I'll read you a quote here in a minute where Brother Branham said, no messenger of the age, because Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came himself.
Right.
And then that made Brother Branham come on over and be the messenger over to get us out of here.
Amen.
Justification brought back the pulp. Sanctification brought back the bark, doctrine of holiness. What is sanctification? Cleaned and set aside for service.
Right.
What brings back the leaves? What? Pentecost. Restoration of the gifts. They were so happy, Azusa Street and all the different ones, but they got so happy they left God.
Right. Yeah.
All right, come on. They did. Brother Bram said they cabbaged down right here. God just moved right on.
Right.
God was there at one time. Listen, God was in that shuck at one time.
Right.
Brother Branham couldn't have come out of a Lutheran church.
Yep.
Think about it. He couldn't have come out of Wesleyan church. He had to come out of Pentecost.
Because
they were so close. Brother Branham said, he said, y'all are the one that's got the closest light right now.
Yep.
Isn't that what he said? Not verbatim, but you'll find it somewhere in the message.
That's right.
So he stepped out from a Pentecostal organization and put them away, and then he brought what? The Word of God. The full restoration. What's the fourth? The Word itself. The Word made flesh. Proof, fruits of the proof of the resurrection sign that Christ has finally, after justification's been planted, sanctification's been planted, baptism of the Holy Ghost, organizations died out, and Christ has again centered himself like that cap of the pyramid.
Amen.
First line, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, then the coming of the cap. Listen, that headstone would not have come if the seals hadn't opened.
Right.
Right.
That's the capstone of this whole message, is the sealed open to give us a revelation, not of who you are,
right,
who Christ is. And if you see Christ, you see yourself.
Amen.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that what they said?
Right.
It's seeing Christ in you.
Right.
It's not seeing you.
Right.
It's Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Right.
So the Holy Ghost come back in power in the 5th and 6th church age. A restoration began, but it was started by reformers. Everybody with me? Luther was a reformer because he preached that just shall live by faith. Smoked a pipe, drank a beer, still held on to some Catholic doctrine. That's not full restoration. That's reforming. Wesley, as powerful as he was reforming the people into sanctification. Don't drink tea. Don't have any value. Don't do this. Don't do that. Bring him back sanctification. All right? Then what did the Holy Ghost do? The Holy Ghost restored the gifts. Bringing it closer. See, you're right there almost at the end where the shoot, where the seed is. You're not the shoot anymore. You're not the two leaves. You're the shook age, which is Pentecost, which what? Protected the seed that was coming.
Right,
it wasn't the seed. It protected the seed that was coming. Because,
yes.
See, you have an ear of corn, even wheat. You take wheat, you put it in your hand like this. That's got a lot of shook. You got to do like this, see, or winnow it, or do whatever they send, like winnowing. What do? They throw it up in the air. The wind blows the chaff away, or the shuck blows away, and then the grain hits the floor.
Right.
Same way with the ear of corn. You don't eat the corn with a shuck on it.
Amen.
Ain't that right, Sister Trudy?
Right.
You peel that thing back, because it has protected the seed. Pentecost was so close. And listen, a lot of them were bride and are still bride. Like I said many times before, we have the greatest message ever on the face of the earth. But only a small group of people is going to even know the seals broke once we get into glory. Never heard of William Branham. Billions of Christians that never heard of a seventh seal. Well, don't get quiet on me. That's what it is. We're the only people that know anything about this.
Right.
Amen.
Here he comes in as the Antichrist. We'll get to the old guy here now. As the false prophet, then the beast, then in dark age. And the church comes out of the dark age, fourth church age, with justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, incarnate word. Now he uses a different name. Incarnate word. Which means God has now moved into somebody and using them.
Right.
Okay?
Yes.
Wait a minute. Using them fully.
Mm-hmm.
All right? The way now, and he goes down, Satan. Satan comes down. The church goes up. Just as perfect as can be. Oh, it's beautiful. I just love it. Satan is sitting back watching us. He's not watching them. He's watching us. And when we take a body change, he's going to know what it takes to incarnate a human being, because God is going to incarnate human flesh. Now he has in us, but we're hid so much. But he's going to reveal us. You just wait and see. The word is back in power. We just got to be able to use it. So remember, coming over with a little bit of light, more light than more light, all right? So Luther's message was the just shall live by faith, justification. Wesley, cleaning up of the church, we're coming out of the dark ages now, cleaning up of the church, sanctification. That's why the cleaning up of you is important.
Right.
Remember we went through the scripture where it says, I'll give you a new spirit, but that's not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He said it's a new spirit so you can get along with your own spirit and get along with God. That's how contrary we are to God if we're not born again.
Right.
But he cleans up the church. He cleans you up. Unclean spirit goes out. Now, Azusa Street Pentecost restored the gifts. The Holy Ghost came back. But that wasn't the seventh church age. Part of it, there's overlaps, okay, with me. Because
right.
Remember, there's eight manifestations of God. There's not eight church ages. There's only seven. But I'll show you to you in just a minute. Real quick, and then I'll confuse you enough till the next time I preach. So Malachi 4, 5, and 6, that brought us back the complete revelation of the entire word. The Son of Man ministry was when Brother Branham stood and said, I would have made a horrible mistake if I'd have preached off my old Son of God notes. Are you with me? God winked at the ignorance of the people of the Son of God anointing, because that wasn't the full, that wasn't the eagle anointing. Sure, Brother Branham was the eagle anointing, no doubt. But folks, he was going to preach that the white horse rider was the Holy Ghost, because he did preach it in 1959, the Mighty Conqueror. God wasn't going to let that happen under the eagle anointing. Under the eagle anointing, Brother Branham said, I'd have made a horrible mistake if he personal, hadn't have come in the room.
Amen.
Right. Second seal, same thing. He said, I was going off. I read them to you. I'm going off my old notes. This is what I see. Listen, he thought the fifth seal was the souls of saints under the altar crying, how long? Somebody know that?
Right. Yeah.
That was under that, not that eagle anointing, but the man anointing. But when you come to the eagle anointing, he could not preach false doctrine. God had to bring this thing back upright to where what we heard was, and it was all the truth.
Yes.
It was impartial revelation. But when you come now and we see the opening of the seals and we see what God's done, he has what? He's not unfolded. He's entered.
Right. Yeah.
He's entered. You become the seal.
Right. Yes.
You become that seal. You see every one of those seals? That's just a pretty picture. But I can see myself in every bit of that. Can you not see your personal self in the white horse rider that some of the things you thought was right was wrong? All the way through. Even, listen, the characteristics of every church age, Brother Brown said, every overcoming of all the ages, we needed it to get us through the age. All seven. They only needed one in the fourth church age. They needed the ox. Brother Ram said, you need that ox anointing. Let me put it this way. You need an ox anointing to get up on Monday morning and go work.
Amen.
That's why I praise God. I hope the rapture takes place between 6 and 9 on Monday morning. The devil's like, I got you. Where'd you go?
Yeah.
I had a boat full on you Monday. Where'd you go?
Yeah.
Not where you're going, buddy. You know what?
Even on Thursday morning.
That's exactly right. Now, look, now here, this explains to me, this explained more to me, because he said, look, he's talking about the Lutherans basically teaching justification. It might make some wonder about the Methodists. No, sir, we are not saying that. We are not talking about the individual or the people, but the age. The anointing for the age. Take a bracket, and that's the anointing for the age. It didn't mean that they were false. Luther's going to have a bride. He's going to resurrect with a bride that believed the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
We're not talking about the individuals or the people, but the age. Luther had the Spirit of God. But his age was not the age of full restoration by another outpouring like in the beginning. It was the same with Wesley, Booth, Knox, Whitfield, Bernard, Jonathan Edwards, Mueller. Surely they were full of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Ram's not the only one who got the Holy Ghost, folks,
mm-hmm.
that could preach.
Right. Yeah.
Yes, they certainly were, but the age in which each lived was not the age of restoration.
Mm-hmm.
Neither was any age but this last age. This is the, listen, neither was any age but this last age, the age of complete blackout. So it's good and bad. This is the age of apostasy, and this is the age of restoration. It is the age of the finished cycle.
Amen.
Brother Branham, what is the seventh seal? He said it's the end of all things.
That's right.
End of the struggling world. He names, we'll get to them later on. It's the age of the finished cycle. What? Lion, ox, man, and eagle clumped into one, the bride. Amen?
That's right.
Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, their doctrines, their truth. We stand on Luther's justification. We stand on Wesley's sanctification. We stand on the restoration of the gifts with the Pentecostals. Amen?
That's right.
But now, this is the age of the finished cycle. That's why the fourth church age, the rapture takes place on the fourth church age. See there? Seal number four. I mean, not fourth church age, sorry, seventh church age, but seal number four. All right, you see that? Seal number one, seal number two, three, four. Rapture takes place on the fourth seal. Why? Because the eagle anointing is gone. Right? There's no other anointings. It drops back, and we'll cover that. It's a little confusing to some, but you say, what about seal five, six, and seven? It's a higher form of every bit of that right there. It's a higher form of justification, a higher form of sanctification, a higher form of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because that's going to quicken you and change your body.
Amen.
What is the fifth seal? Five is grace. God gave eternal life to a group of people that didn't even want it.
Amen.
He justified them at the highest level.
Right.
They didn't even want him. And he justified them because of who they were and what he said he was going to do to them. Sanctification is what? Nature is going to fall. Earthquake. All the different things. We'll read it. Well, it's the destruction of your nature. Sanctification. He's cleaning it off. When he cleans the world off, he's cleaning you off. He cleans you off first before he cleans this world off. Amen? And then what is the seventh seal? Brother Brown said the seventh seal is Christ himself. I say it's Christ himself in a group of people.
Amen.
Growing to a body change. And we will take it. There is no other age that will. In the days of Paul, the angel of the church of Ephesus, Paul founded the church being the messenger of it. Remember, Paul founded the church of Ephesus because the messenger to that church and the spirit was in the land. Watch. The spirit was in the land at the time was a lion spirit, lion. And the lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah, which was Christ, and Christ is the word. Paul was the word of that age. Thousands fell asleep in that age. Then comes the next age. The time the church got settled down in dark ages, the ox spirit went forth. Number four. Work, labor, sacrifice, giving their life. Thousands times thousands, 68 million, fell asleep under martyrdom and everything. They're waiting, see? Then the next age come, the Lutheran, the Reform age. There went the wise with the cunningness of man. He's walking right through this picture. Do you see that? He's walking right through this picture. The man anointing, Luther is number five, Wesley's number six. Everybody with me?
Amen.
All right. Now watch what he said. If you notice, man went forth with that, and when he did, he added his own shrewdness.
Right.
Remember the Enlightenment, the industrial age? Man got all, man took science instead of the word of God. That's what married him into the other part. If he just stayed with God's wisdom, just reforming and pulling out, but what did he do? After that man that had the message, Luther, after the death of Luther, they had a Lutheran organization. After the death of Wesley, they had a Methodist organization. You keep going on like that. Now, I want you to notice this. Now, someone might ask about Pentecostals, which was the third age. Now, look, that's confusing if you don't know what he's talking about. All right, you with me? Justification, sanctification. The age of justification was Martin Luther. The age of sanctification was John Wesley, number two. The age of the Pentecost is number three. It's not a third age. It's a third time. It's the timing of a slot, and we'll get to that later on because I don't want to confuse you tonight. Now watch. Each one of those ages only taken a dip in the Holy Spirit. Justification is a work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is a work of the Holy Spirit, but the baptism is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Now watch, here's your quote. That's the reason it took a prophetic prophet to come down, no messenger to the Pentecostal age. That's what he says. Because the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. But at the end of that Pentecostal age, as it always ends up the other, We find there then the messenger sent. Well, that's him. And all these scruples and things will be placed in a place like that. Then the rapture comes for the church. Everybody with me?
Amen.
Now, but then if the Pentecostal message was the last message, which justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the last three messages, the last three church ages, forms the complete birth.
Right.
Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, which the Pentecostal age is right here.
Yes.
Right. Everybody with me?
Yep.
It has to be bookends. What started the first church age? There was a Pentecostal age before Paul came on the scene.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to change, can you change that back to that? I'll show it to you. And that's one thing I got a stimulation when Brother Dale preached that. I'm like, man, if this ain't the clearest thing I ever seen in my life.
Right.
That was so clear.
Right.
Because what happened? Brother Brown said the messenger always comes at the end of the age. This is where I'm going to confuse you, and I'm going to leave you alone. The messenger comes at the end of the age. I just read it.
Right.
Right here. Somewhere. Right here. But at the end of the age, as it always ends upon the others, we find there the messenger was sent. Now, if Paul, we know for a fact he was a messenger of Ephesus, right?
Right.
Hang in here. I'm a little late. I'm sorry. Y'all stand outside till 10 o'clock anyway. And talk about me, so I'm going to talk about y'all. All right, so there was a Pentecostal age that was started on AD 30.
That's right.
Paul was not a part of that.
Right.
Peter was the spokesperson. He wasn't the messenger.
Right.
He was a spokesperson. Right here is another Pentecostal age.
Amen.
That William Parham was the spokesperson for, not the messenger. Brother Bram said the Holy Ghost came himself. Because if Paul was a messenger to the Ephesus, and if he comes at the end of the age, if he come right here, he'd be the messenger to this age. He came at the end of the Pentecostal age in AD 53. That was 20 years after Pentecost. Everybody with me? So he came at the end of the Pentecostal age. He comes right here, brings his message. Then he preaches and lives and then dies, and a group of people picks it up. Well, when it starts waning off, there's an overlap. God sends Irenaeus at the end of the Ephesus age. He brings his message. Then he comes and dies. Then Martin comes at the end of Irenaeus' age. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So Brother Branham couldn't come at the end of the Wesleyan age.
Right.
That was that bad knee. So anyway, who put all that stuff over there? That did hurt. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, now I know. So each messenger comes at the end of the age. So Paul comes. Now you see where those little arrows that go up?
Right.
End of the age. So there had to be, as if there's an alpha and omega, if there's bookends, they got to be the same. They got to start the same and end the same.
Right.
All right? So there was a Pentecostal age, and I know somebody in Ohio right now is shouting Mr. Richard Negron because he saw this a long time ago. He's been watching Dad since 2015. But this will help you see more clear. Not the back of my head. This will help you to see more clear that I am getting bald. But it'll help you see that Brother Brown, if he came at the end of the age, he's way over here. He came at the end of this Pentecostal age and brought a message of eternal life. There was no messenger to that Pentecostal age. There was a spokesperson. There was no messenger over there. It was Peter. Then a prophet comes on the scene. Parham does what he does. Remember, they're still Trinitarians. So it's beginning to restore, but it's not a restoration. Then Brother Branham comes on the scene. The Holy Ghost comes himself. Then Elijah comes. To what? To usher us into eternal life. To rapture the church.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
Are you confused?
No.
Okay, good. So it's water. Water, blood. Water what? Washing by the water of the word. Justification. water baptism, okay? Blood sanctification, fifth age, with me, or sixth age. Life comes in that Pentecostal age right there. We've got another one somewhere that says Pentecost written right here, but that's where it's at.
That's right.
It's written right here. Right. And the Holy Ghost came himself. There wasn't another, a man. I just read you the quote, what he said.
Yep.
No messenger of the age. The Holy Ghost came himself.
Right.
Listen, because there was no message.
That's right.
It was the baptism.
Right.
Okay. And I believe it struck the Lutherans. I believe it struck the Wesleyans, the Methodists. It struck them all. So now you and I are in the fourth stage. Baby comes, water, blood, and life. But remember, once that life comes, there's got to be a growth or maturity period.
Right.
All right? Growth, maturity, resurrection, change of the body, and rapture. That's what we're looking at right now.
Amen.
That's what we're looking at right now. And we'll get to that fourth age in just maybe another week or two when we get time. Well, I'm preaching next Wednesday, so we'll start on the fourth seal. So does everybody understand pretty much? When the messenger comes at the end of the age, he's got to have an age to start over here. So there had to be a Pentecostal age. Paul comes, brings his revelation to Ephesus. He dies. Goes off the scene. Irenaeus comes at the end of the age of Ephesus and brings his message to Smyrna.
Right.
All right, everybody with me?
Right.
Guess what? I'm done. It's 8:48. Let's stand to our feet.
Amen.
Musicians, don't even come. Will, I apologize for keeping to this long, but you blame it on Sister Nikki. We blame everything on her even when she's gone. But to me, that just makes the picture fit. It fits the message, all the quotes, and your scripture. So if it does that, buddy, I'm good with it. There's no devil involved in any of that. But he says now, folks, I'm telling you, he says, do not hurt my Holy Ghost filled people. And I'm going to stimulate them like I've never stimulated them before. I'm going to give them so much stimulation and revelation, they're going to take a body change and leave out of here.
Amen.
That's us. That's our age. That's our mandate. We have no other mandate.
Correct.
Sure, we got to get the baby here, but we got to feed that baby.
Amen.
You say, God, I want more of you. I don't want more knowledge.
Right.
Because if you get more of him, he'll give you that knowledge in the statue of perfect man. Amen. You love the Lord?
Amen.
I love him. I love him because he first loved me and purchased my salvation. On Calvary's. Now, if you need healing, let's sing it like this. He heals me. He heals me because he first loved me. And by his stripes, I am healed completely now. I'm free because I love him. I love him because he first loved me and just my salvation. Thank you, Lord. On Calvary's tree. Amen. You love the Lord? He's good to us, isn't he? Just remember this weekend, we got a lot of stuff going on. I want to make one statement. This morning, I told y'all a long time ago I had a heart. But I didn't have any feelings. I got some feelings this morning when I found out that a lot of y'all are not going to be here Saturday. you've hurt my feeling bad. We have special meetings. Listen, it's not for me. It's for my sheep. And I want to show you off. And if you want to go out and play with the world, that's fine. I'm going to congregate myself with eagles. Now, I'm sorry. But you put a lot, these eight sisters are not going to be here. So that means that every one of these that are going to be here are going to have to work three times more. Yeah. We've announced this since February, folks. February. So if you want to go rub shoulders with the devil, you go right ahead. We're going to have church Saturday. We're going to have church Sunday. We're going to have special meetings. I am not going to stop if I have to hire people to come in here and work. Right. We're not going to stop fellowshipping. We're not going to start depriving people of hearing the word of God. And we can't do it without you. Amen. Right. I am ashamed. I'm sorry. You're my sheep. Yes. But I know a lot of people that have special meetings, and I know them personally. And they don't have this trouble. They don't have trouble with people. Every time they have a special meeting, people are there. Right. Yeah. Brother Joe Green, I've been on the phone with him. I'll tell you. They pull together. And listen, if you don't want fellowship, I'd rather you do this. And I'm honest. I'm standing behind this desk. If you don't believe in fellowshipping with bride, if you don't believe in having special meetings, if you don't believe in being in church an extra time during the week, please just come and tell me. Just say, I don't believe in that, and I'm not going to support it. That'll make me feel, honestly, so much better. Then I'll know what kind of support I can get.
Right.
I'm sorry. I contemplated even saying anything about it, but it just burns my heart, folks. Burns my heart that I can't depend on people. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's not for me. I'm telling you, honestly, it's not for me. It's for you.
Right.
I got two of the best preachers coming this weekend. And come to help you. And those people, Brother Harris is shutting his whole church down. I don't know what Brother Andre's doing, but he's going to be here. Brother Richard's shutting his church down, and they're coming here. And then a lot of y'all are leaving just for first one thing and another. Well, be happy with it, because I'm done with it. I am just absolutely hurt. And I'm sorry. I'm a human being.
Yes.
But don't you ever think I'm doing this because I want to get elevated. I'm known well enough about in the message. People know me. So I don't need that. I have them come here for you, for your fellowship time, for you to be able to fellowship with people.
Right. Yeah.
That's right.
And don't tell me you didn't know it. We've been announcing this since February. February. And you just decided to just loaf off and go somewhere else. I'm sorry. My feelings are hurt. And don't come to me and say, I'm sorry, and I'm this, and that, and the other. I'm done that. If you don't want to come, that's fine. We're going to have a meeting in July, July the 4th. We're going to have a meeting because that's our 55th anniversary. Brother Nate Green's going to be here. And you know what? We're going to cater that meal so you won't have to fix anything. But we're going to have a lot of people here Saturday, and we're going to need all the support we can get.
Amen.
Sunday, May 2 now. I didn't know everybody was closing the church and going to be here Sunday too, but they're going to be here Sunday also.
Amen.
So, I'm done. That's enough for me. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Amen.
See you Saturday. 4 o'clock.